KFSR presents Fresno State Service in Action, stories of community service from the campus of Fresno State, with host Chris Fiorentino on Fresno State Radio, 90.7 KFSR.
Good morning and welcome. I'm Chris Fiorentino, and I'm really glad you've joined us today, especially today because you're going to get to know a couple of former Fresno State students, now alumni, who are just wonderful people, and I had the real pleasure of working with them when they were here at the university. With us today, all the way from Dallas, Texas, is Miss Cassidy Smith, who graduated in 2011. Cassidy, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
And with Cassidy is another Fresno State alum, a gentleman who graduated in 2014, Mr. Daniel Ward. Dan, so glad you can be here.
Thanks, Chris. Glad to be here.
So, Cassidy, at the risk of exhausting people in the first few minutes, you have the energy level of 10 people, so asking you for a brief introduction is going to be tough. But make us all feel lazy and give us a little quick background on yourself.
Well, I am a 2007 Edison High alumna, so I grew up in Fresno and then came to Fresno State as part of the Smit Camp Scholar Program. Yeah. And while I was here, studied broadcast journalism in the media communications and journalism department. Loved taking part in activities like the Richter Center Ambassadors and also the Council of President Scholars with Smit Camp. After graduating in 2011, went on to Georgetown for graduate school and lived in D.C. for a couple of years, and then was in Chicago for a couple of years after that, working for Orbitz Worldwide, the online travel company. And since January of last year, have been in Dallas, Texas, working with
Texas
Sabre.
Girl now,
yes,
yeah.
I say a lot of y'alls now. I don't know where that came from, but they've been just slowly showing up.
And you were just telling us about this company, Sabre, 10,000 employees.
Yes.
And a pretty significant footprint in the travel industry. So
yes, it is.
Yeah. Now, Dan, how about you? A little background just so people know who's behind the mic.
Sure. I'm Fresno born and raised, went to Bullard High School, and then was thrilled to be accepted to the Smit Camp Family Honors College. I studied chemistry as a pre-med student at Fresno State and graduated with my degree in chemistry in 2014. I also studied biology and astronomy and have an interest in aerospace medicine, and that'll be relevant later, I think. I then accepted a scholarship from the Air Force to serve for 4 years as a flight surgeon, and that will be at the conclusion of my time in medical school. I'm currently a third-year med student at the University of California, San Francisco, and I look forward to working as an emergency medicine physician here in the Central Valley as soon as I can. Very excited to come back and serve this community. Also, I met my fiance, who's a pediatrician at Valley Children's Hospital, Devin Goosen. We met at a pre-med.
Way to throw in Devin's name there early on.
Devin gets a shout out. She's been having a very enjoyable streak of interviews with Fresno State and local news media about her new internship at Valley Children's. So I wanted to give the shout out there too. But anyways, we'll be getting married here at the alumni house in April of 2018. Looking forward to that.
Yeah. So, you know, Air Force Medical School, you know, getting married.
Yes,
yeah, a little busy. Nothing changes, though. You guys are both always, always so busy. So we're here to talk about all the service stuff that kept you so busy while you were here in school. In addition to that, you know, going to class and studying thing, worrying about that. And I know there's a lot to talk about in terms of your service work, but maybe we can start with you both being part of the Richter Center Ambassadors. Cassidy, you were part of that founding group of the ambassadors back in 2008, and Dan, you joined in 2010. So I'll toss it out to the two of you, you know, let you explain a little bit about the ambassadors program and how you got into it.
Sure. And actually, we were just reminiscing before coming in that I actually recruited Daniel to be a Richter Center ambassador following my first couple of years.
Yep, that's definitely correct. Cassidy was the inspiration, and quite an inspiration to join the Richter Center as well as get involved in other service ventures at Fresno State.
Yeah. So tell us what the ambassador program. What's it all about?
I was in the inaugural class, as you said, and I was approached as someone who had been active on campus and been involved in other student service learning initiatives. And Melissa Jessen approached me from the Richter Center. And the initial idea, and I think this still continues, it's going to be the 10-year anniversary here this upcoming spring. But the idea is that the students are acting as the liaison between the Richter Center and other students. So it's really opening the door and the gateway for students across the campus and at large, even I don't even think it's necessarily just Fresno State students, but seeing other students in a position of leadership and service learning and going out into the community and acting as true ambassadors and where we can answer questions and where we could just sort of act as that gateway between those that maybe hadn't done much service learning or much community service and get them involved as peers. Yeah. And there wasn't anything like it at the time where it was student to student interaction. But since it's ballooned into so many other Richter Center programs since then.
In that first year, you were spending a lot of time. I know Melissa and your inaugural team was spending a lot of time trying to understand what it is that you were going to really focus on. And that peer-to-peer mentoring and promotion of service work. During that first year, you spent a lot of time talking about that. What stands out in your mind about that process of deciding, what are these ambassadors? What are we going to do?
I think that sometimes when you are so busy as a student, you know, you've got those commitments of class, homework, other jobs, all sorts of things. Sometimes community service is something that you think just isn't possible or is just out of reach given your time constraints. And so that was something that I think we really wanted to make sure people understood was that you can always make time for community service. And what you get out of it is just so wonderful, not just for your soul and your spirit and for helping other people, but it can in a lot of ways act as sort of the entree into different career paths. And some of the community service work that I did, for example, was in relation to my major in media and communication.
Yeah.
And so getting that opportunity to be where you were making a difference and helping people while also feeling good about it, I think that was really a message we wanted to evangelize around campus.
And Dan, aside from being asked by Cassidy to be a part of it, because you couldn't say no to Cassidy, what was it that drew you to the program?
I joined as a sophomore after my freshman year. I was in my freshman year very involved with the Smith Camp Family Honors College Council of President Scholars. Mm-hmm. Cassidy also kind of recruited me to that, got me involved with the Bulldog Pantry and several of the service learning projects that were going on around campus. I think it was some of the one-day service events that really got me hooked and interested in advancing my community service engagement ventures. And I found that I really enjoyed it. I had the time for it. At the time, I was an engineering major and thought I wouldn't have the hours in the day or the week to devote to service learning, but I really felt like it was worthwhile and something that I got a lot out of. As Cassidy was saying, it's paraphrasing, but a huge return on investment. You're aware of the issues that are facing people in your community, not just our neighbors around campus, but students as well. And that's something I learned at the Bulldog Pantry.
I know that both, you know, as Cassidy helped recruit you and probably others, I know you helped recruit a lot of people. And obviously, both of you were involved in lots of work to engage others in different kinds of service. Mm-hmm. I know that you said, Daniel, talking about the Bulldog Pantry, I think you were involved in that very first year of the formation of the Bulldog Food Pantry that was started by Fresno State students for the community around the university. What were those early experiences like for you in terms of helping to give you some idea about what you wanted to do with the rest of your life? You talked about being an engineering major initially. Mm-hmm. You weren't planning on going to med school, I take it.
I thought about med school and thought that that would be the ultimate goal. Wasn't quite sure about the major to get me there. But to answer your question about working at the pantry, I was there pretty early on. I think that they had laid the groundwork and were building when I was first joining and getting started with the pantry. And I found that going and bagging food on Friday afternoons and then serving the folks that were coming in, students, our neighbors around campus, people in need on Saturday mornings was a very enjoyable experience. And you got to appreciate the diversity of our community as well as the struggles that people face on a day-to-day basis. It's not something that I was really aware of prior to serving at the pantry. And I credit it in a large way to me wanting to come back and serve my community in a medical capacity.
You know, 18 years old, 19 years old, you come in as a freshman, even a sophomore. You know, your existence is really largely, you know, your family and your high school and that immediate neighborhood community around you. And then all of a sudden, you're starting to see bigger issues in the Fresno community. And like you mentioned, the diversity of Fresno and some of the poverty and some of the other faces of other neighborhoods that maybe you weren't used to.
Exactly. And I think that one of the most rewarding parts of my time working at the pantry was being able to bring fellow students to serve other Smith Camp students, people in service learning classes. My fraternity brothers would come and bag food. And I think that it was a similar experience for them being exposed to the experience at the Bulldog Pantry.
Cassie, you were involved in the ambassador program for 3 years, right?
Yes, that's correct.
So what were some of the initial projects that you remember working on to help engage other students?
One of the big ones was the Picture the Change program that we came up with. We were trying to figure out a way that we could get people excited, get them thinking about service, and also something that could potentially be shared on social media. And this was right at the advent, really, of social media. It was in the first couple of years as Facebook and Twitter were getting started.
Yeah, I mean, that was 9 years ago, and now it's we're already looking back on that and saying that was
the old days.
The good old days yeah. Back by the fire when we were on Twitter initially. But
Twitter didn't even exist.
I don't think so. Yeah. You know, it's hard to say. There's so many of them now too. But just trying to be where we were getting in front of students, and also in addition to, I think there was something about having your picture taken and sort of making that pledge where you were pledging to serve your community. That made it a little bit more where you were really kind of making a promise, and it was where you were really thinking about it. It wasn't just sort of willy-nilly saying that you were going to participate in something, but rather you were writing it down, you were taking a photo, and it was being posted on the ambassador blog. Yeah. And that really was one of my favorite projects that we worked on, because that really opened my eyes to a lot of the people that wanted to serve too, and who were interested in serving and weren't necessarily aware that the Richter Center had all of these resources for students. And so that was sort of our first foray into acting as ambassadors with the student community as a group, as opposed to just, you know, on our own and talking to individual students. And seeing the line starting to form in the Satellite Student Union to come take pictures, and where they were saying, like, so tell me more about the Richter Center and what kind of service activities can I do? We knew we really had something special, and that the ambassadors were going to be really act as that link that we set out to become.
And Daniel, I know it wasn't part of the ambassador program per se, but another thing that Melissa got started was our Alternative Spring Break project in conjunction with student involvement here. And you were involved in that first year of Alternative Spring Break, right?
That's right. Little Community Gardens. That's right. And some of my favorite times as a student at Fresno State were during those Alternative Spring Break experiences, as well as being a Richter Center ambassador. That first Alternative Spring Break trip, we worked at the Alluvial Community Garden and spent a week of our spring break building gardens and cleaning up community garden that would be enjoyed by people. And it was a smaller project, but in the scope of things that didn't matter. It was being aware that you were helping out others, devoting time that you had to bettering your community. And I enjoyed those projects so much that I went back and did another two, I believe. There was the Rotary Storyland beautification project.
Yeah,
and then
you spent several days out there working on the project.
There was an after-school program at a local park as well. And I remember talking with students as an ambassador about my experience during Alternative Spring Break, and actually having the satisfaction of recruiting some students to our teams as I enjoyed additional Alternative Spring Break trips.
Yeah. Melissa Norris was in the studio a few weeks back, and Melissa was talking about her work on one of those early Alternative Spring Break projects as well. I think you guys may have been on the same team. But again, engaging a bunch of other students in service during a time that, you know, most people would say, oh, college students, they're out, you know, they're out sleeping, they're out partying, they're in Cancun or in, you know, someplace else enjoying themselves. But instead, here's a group of students that are out serving in our community, spending their time during spring break.
And having a really great time all the while.
Yeah. Yeah. Cassidy, you mentioned some stuff about the COPS program. What does COPS stand for? And what was your involvement with that program?
Sure. It's the Council of President Scholars, and it's the leadership group for the Smit Camp Family Honors College. And Daniel and I had met each other through Smit Camp, but where we really got to know each other better was during that time where Daniel acted as one of the class representatives for COPS. And I started as a sophomore representative, and then in the 3 years that I participated, went on to be vice president and then president. And one of the big things that we were in charge of was putting together community service opportunities for the Smit Camp Family Honors Scholars. And so a big tenet of the Smit Camp Honors College is giving back to the community.
Yeah.
And so that's part of your scholarship as a Smit Camp scholar, that you are required to do a certain number of community service hours. And so we really embraced the opportunity to get to do those together, in addition to where people would go out individually to the causes that they were passionate about. But some of our big highlights, and one of my favorite programs, was putting on a carnival for the children at Valley Children's Hospital.
Tell us about that.
It was just sort of it came up as sort of just an idea. No one had done it before in Smit Camp. We were the first group to do it. And we just sort of thought, where can we make an impact when we've got so many people and so many students that want to, you know, go out and make a difference? Where could we really mobilize with that many people and really make a big impact?
Yeah.
And so we came up with this idea, and we were building the booths, and we were making up the rules for the games and buying, you know, prizes to give away, and people dressed up as characters. We just did the whole shebang. And it was one of the things I'm proudest of, not just in my time at Fresno State, but just in my life, to be where a bunch of college students organized something of that magnitude. And it was just great. But I think that that was another program outside of the Richter Center that was, again, I mean, there's so many on Fresno State's campus that service plays such a crucial role in these different groups, and getting to meet like-minded people who also want to serve the community. And just as Daniel's been talking about all of the things that he's done, and just as he describes these different things that he's done, it makes me so proud to be where I belong to a group of students and a group of alumni, you know, that service is so important to all of us. And I get goosebumps hearing Daniel speak, because it was after I met him and I just said, as we're recruiting more people for this Richter Center program, you've got to come do it. And yeah. It was just where it was so clear that he has such a passion for helping others. And again, through these different programs that, since we were like-minded, we got to meet yeah. and work on these things together. And that's truly one of the, I think, in addition to helping the community, such a special part to see such inspiring people like Daniel making such a difference in the community, even continuing on as he continues to live his life. It's really, really inspiring.
I was just going to say, Cassidy, you're showering me with praise and I'm blushing here in the booth. You're the reason I got started with all this. We were reminiscing, as you said, and as I talked about earlier, you were the one that recruited me to take part in the food pantry as well as the Richter Center, Council of President Scholars. I think that when we were talking about the Valley Children's Hospital Carnival, that also was one of my favorite experiences, community service involvement or otherwise, as a student at Fresno State. It was such a rewarding day.
And you guys did it, I remember, very low key, because when I first heard about it, I remember you saying, oh yeah, we're doing this little carnival. And it was, you kind of brushed it off like, oh, it's this little thing we did. And it was probably a year or two later, and Steve Rodemeyer and I were talking mm-hmm. one day, and he started talking about this carnival that you guys had done. I think it was probably the second year, and all the, like you said, the donated prizes and characters that people dressed up as, and, you know, all the kids that came down from the different floors in the hospital. And, you know, I mean, I think that you're both very humble, and that project was a great example of it. It was about the service. It wasn't about getting a lot of recognition for Schmidt Camp or for COPS or for you individually, but it was about the kids there. And I really admired that about the project, because you were never out there blowing the horn about, look at what we did. Look at this great project.
Absolutely. Chris, that's something that you are saying without saying, and I think that Cassidy almost hit, but the phrase that I wanted to use was culture of service at Fresno State. Mm. We have so many student groups and individuals that are interested in serving their community. And I think that the Richter Center and the ambassadors and the other groups have done a fantastic job of promoting these opportunities for people to get involved. But then it's a snowball effect where people can continue to serve and inspire others. And then the experience you have in college permeates through to the rest of your life. And you find yourself in a career or some other interest outside of your work that is service-based, something yeah. that you enjoy, something that you find rewarding. And I am so proud, as Cassidy was saying too, I'm so proud to be an alumnus of this amazing university that has this culture of service and to be a part of that. Because right. it isn't about people blowing their horns and saying how great they are. It's the people that just recognize this as a worthwhile endeavor to give back to the community. Yeah. And I think that the Richter Center is largely to applaud for that.
We're saying we don't blow our own horns, and here we are on this show blowing our own horns.
It's advocacy at the same time, right?
It really is. I think one of the things is as you have always done, is you've talked about your service as a way to motivate others to serve. And you mentioned this culture of service that exists here, and I couldn't feel more similar in the pride that I take in being an employee here in this culture of service at this university that sets us apart. Cassidy, I think one of the things that you experienced in terms of that culture of service is the way that service is integrated into courses. And in your MCJ program, you were involved in a couple of classes where service was an important part of that. Can you tell us a little about that?
Yes, I was involved quite heavily in Dr. Gary Rice's community journalism program, where we wrote for various publications. Students wrote for various publications across the valley. And I mean, that was such an incredible experience because, you know, you were working for free and providing this journalistic talent to these papers that otherwise might not have been able to send somebody out.
Community
to,
newspapers, right. newsletters,
exactly.
things like that. Yeah.
But then
not the
also,
Fresno Bee.
Right. No,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
that I think if they needed something that was yeah. lower key, they would send one of us out. Still, though, the Madera Tribune and the Sanger Herald and other smaller papers that have a great writing staff as well, but some of the events that might not otherwise have gotten to be covered, or the people who couldn't have been featured in profiles, they sent us out to cover. And then my favorite project that I did was actually in conjunction with Schmidt Camp and Dr. Gary Rice. It was a investigative journalism piece for the Sanger Herald that looked at the housing boom and bust through the eyes of several families in mm-hmm. one subdivision in Sanger. And that was something that it was many hours of work and a lot of great learning experiences, both from Dr. Rice as well as from the people that I interviewed and the chief of police in Sanger and all these different people that I interviewed. And one of my proudest accomplishments to date was winning the George Gruner Award for Public Service in Journalism for my 10,000 word series of stories. And that's another great example of the service learning, meeting the professional goals, and also where you can get some of this professional experience. And while the award was very meaningful, the most meaningful part to me was when I was told as I won the award that there is a you'll have to forgive me. I think it's maybe the Housing Commission. Someone in Sanger keeps a copy of my story there in the office to remember, you know, the plight, to put a human face to these homes that they're building and the foreclosures and different things, and to really kind of toe the line when it comes to building these housing projects. And it was just really neat to get to work on something professionally, but then also make a difference, and not just necessarily with the type of service that you do, you know, kind of ad hoc, but with something that was an ongoing project and something that was in my field of study, and make a difference that way. It was really moving.
And that theme, that issue of housing, has continued on. You may know Matt Gendian and Janine Nkosi, two faculty members in sociology, were really involved in a lot of issues around blight and also slum housing in Fresno, and the students that worked so hard to help eventually bring in a new policy in the city of Fresno around slum housing and rental housing inspections and things like that, to make those experiences of living in those homes more humane, I guess, is the right way to say that. And culture of service continues, not just locally, but internationally. And Dan, you were real involved in two projects, one in Fiji and one in El Salvador, that were all service-based. Can you talk about those?
That's right, Chris. My favorite projects as a student outside of the U.S. I had a lot of service learning experiences that were great, but these stand out because it was serving a community that was not my own at the start, but at the end of the 2 weeks, for instance, in Nabutini, Fiji, and the 1 week in El Salvador, were amazing to be a part of a community and to have a really tangible effect. We were building houses in El Salvador for a week.
With your fraternity,
right? With my fraternity, Alpha Sigma Phi.
Yeah.
And brothers from around the country, and three of my brothers from the Fresno State chapter joined forces and built these concrete houses for a community in El Salvador. And it was hard physical labor for 7 days. And, you know, it was one of the most meaningful things I've done to date. And then in Fiji, we were with Matt Venture and Chief John Lawler. Another fantastic trip.
Everybody's getting their name dropped on this show.
Yeah. Shout outs for days. The biggest takeaway from that project for me was how to accept people into your community. We were there for a day. By that point, I was part of the tribe, was sitting around and enjoying a meal and grog with the chief. And, you know, the work was meaningful. We were painting a community center. But the biggest takeaway, as I was saying, was joining forces and becoming accepted in a community that really enjoyed having you there.
Yeah.
Throwing their arms wide open and accepting you.
Very much so, right?
I mean, that's something
I
like
to hear. You were one of the people who remarked about how, you know, you'd walk through the village and, you know, Bula Dan, Bula.
Exactly.
And you're like, how do those people know me?
Exactly.
Because you hadn't met them yet. You'd only been there for, you know, 24 hours. So, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, so much of what you've talked about, you know, obviously you were both scholars, very high achieving in the classroom, but service played a very special part of your higher ed experience. And I'm wondering how it might have played in terms of your career choice and your ability to get into graduate school for both of you, Daniel for medical school and Cassidy, you at Georgetown. What role do you think service played in all of that?
Well, the piece for the Sanger Herald that I mentioned, that's actually what I submitted to go to Georgetown. That was my writing sample to go to graduate school, and was told that no one had ever submitted anything quite like that when I was accepted. So that was a big boost. But also just the idea, as we were talking about the carnival at Children's Hospital, for example, that was something where, you know, part of the reason we didn't really go around tooting our own horns was we weren't really sure how it was all going to go, having never done it before. And not that we would have gone around shouting about it anyway, but we were just kind of, you know, calling the hospital. And you're talking about, again, 21-year-olds saying like, hi, can we come do a carnival at the hospital? And putting those events together and seeing that it come together and where you could be capable of doing something of that scale. My first job out of graduate school at Orbitz, I did very large scale events. And it was oftentimes I would refer back to the carnival and say, you know what, we were able to pull that off. I can probably pull this off too.
Yeah.
And so it's those sorts of things, that hands-on experience, in addition to just the really touching parts where you're, you know, you're helping other people and you're feeling good about helping other people. Some of the tangible benefits really do carry on to your later career.
Yeah. And Dan, I know for you, you talked about it a lot as an undergrad, and you've talked about it since, about how, you know, service has become a real central theme of what you want to do. Yeah, you want to be a physician, but you've already committed to serving in the Air Force. Thank you for that. And
you've
really committed to making medicine a service. You talk about coming back and serving the Valley as an ER physician. How did your experience at Fresno State help mold that?
I think that having a breadth of experiences prepared me for applications for medical school, as well as setting up my trajectory for what I hope will land me as a physician in the Valley in short order. I volunteered at Community Regional Medical Center on the floors there, and it was really cool to go back there as a medical student and see where I was, you know, scrubbing patient rooms and bringing food to folks, and now working with them on a patient-provider basis. I also enjoyed working at the Bulldog Pantry and in other arenas that were not related to medicine at all. And it was that breadth of experience that ultimately showed me that this is a place where I want to serve. Yes, we have a very medically underserved region. And yes, there will be opportunities to get involved as a doctor here. But I think that without having those varied experiences as a pre-medical student at Fresno State, I wouldn't have known that this is the place that I ultimately want to land. It was that, again, the culture of service idea about serving in the military from an early age in conjunction with another service learning class. Shout out to Dr. Gary Rice and his oral history project and interviewing the veterans that took part in World War II and one from Operation Iraqi Freedom, and talking with them about their experiences that really solidified in my mind that I wanted to serve and that this would be a most worthwhile endeavor, a fantastic way to give back.
God, I just hate that we're on such a time frame here, and I've got to end the show. But, you know, for years, Cassidy, that you were here, I used to just marvel at your energy and your passion, your humor. I loved it every time you walked into the office. And
Thank you.
You know, just always in amazement when I talk to you, and the just selfless giving and the humbleness that you approach service with.
Thanks, Chris.
I hope that I've given a glimpse, or we've given a glimpse to the listeners, of just what incredible people the two of you are, and maybe people understand why I was so excited to have you on the show today. To all of our listeners, I really encourage you to think about these two young individuals and all they've accomplished, even though they are both very young. And even though, if you're like me, a few years their senior, you know, they can really be role models for us all. So thank you both very much.
Thank you so much, Chris. It's been an honor.
Thanks, Chris.
Please tune in again next Sunday morning at 11 a.m. for another Fresno State Service in Action program on KFSR. And also like us on Facebook at FS Service in Action. If you want to give a shout out to Cassidy or Daniel, or if you have any other feedback, please post a comment on that Facebook site. We'd love to hear from you. We are Fresno State Service in Action, and we're on the air at 90.7 FM and streaming worldwide at KFSR.org. Thanks and have a great day.
KFSR presents Fresno State Service in Action every Sunday morning at 11. For a complete program schedule, visit KFSR.org.